Blog Talk Radio.
Another live broadcast of YizerRadio.com. Moving forward, baby. Another live show. We bless the broadcast to our listeners one more night, another day on this great earth. And today is February 6, 2014. And you are sitting here with your man, live in effect. Dwayne Abernathy in this moving forward here on YizerRadio.com. I got to calm down, y'all. I'm a little geeked up tonight because why? Guess what? I'm broadcasting live. I made it back home, people. I got out of Virginia. It was rough, boy. But nah, I'm just joking. I really enjoyed my trip down to Virginia, you know. Much respect. But I'm back in the A. We broadcasting live tonight. And, oh, I got to give a shout-out to Miss Nicole Lee. I listened to your show last night. It was hot. And nothing like a healthy, happy vagina. It was a good show. If y'all didn't hear Miss Nicole's show, Healthy 365 show, the other night, it was a good show. You need to check her out. Plus, she gives a lot of helpful information, you know, to help us stay healthy. You know, what they say, strong mind, body, and soul, and spirit. So please listen to Nicole's show. I believe it's on Wednesday nights at 10. For some reason, it broadcasts on Tuesday. But I have no control over scheduling. I'm just, you know. But I believe it's Wednesday at 10 o'clock. Anyway, tonight, we're going to continue on. If you guys didn't hear my show Sunday, what we're doing is for the month of February, even though they claim that February is Black History Month. But you know me, your man Dwayne Abernathy, I say every day is Black History Month. Every day is Black History, or what, every day is Black History Day. Every minute is every Black History Hour, and every hour is Black, you guys get what I'm saying. But I must, you know, stay obligated to tradition, and so we're going to talk about Black History, you know, this whole month. But the Black History that we talk about here on YizerRadio.com, here on the Moving Forward show, we're going to talk about the Black History that's not in the history books. We're going to talk about the Black History that's not taught in our schools. We're going to talk about the Black History, but I'm going to get on the Black churches. That topic right there is another topic for another day on another show. Anyway, we're going to move forward. Like I always say, we're going to move forward. So tonight, you tuning in with your man, Dwayne. We're live tonight from the ATL. Made it back home. We are actually going to talk about Black history, the military, African America's role in the military. So I'm going to take a break, and I'll be back in a second. Hello, this is Dwayne Abernathy with 14 Generation Technical Services. In today's world, businesses need a video surveillance camera system. Some of the benefits of installing a camera system are they will improve safety, reduce shrinkage, reduce accidents, increase your bottom line, raise staff accountability, and give your customers a sense of peace. Here at 14 Generations, we specialize in new state-of-the-art technology cloud surveillance systems for restaurants, retail, lodging, offices, and we specialize in daycare centers. In addition to sales, we offer service, maintenance, training, and installation of these customized video surveillance systems. If you would like more information, please contact us at 888-751-8881. Once again, that's 888-751-8881, or log on to 14generations.com. That's the number 14 in the word generations. So once again, that's 14generations.com. What's up, what's up, what's up? This your man, Dwayne Abernathy. You listen to Moving Forward here on GeyserRadio.com. Back from our break. If you're just tuning in, today, February 6, 2014, live broadcast from Atlanta, Georgia. And tonight we are going to talk about the history of the African-American soldier, because we hardly ever hear about our brothers and sisters out there who has fought and died for this country. You know, a lot of times they talk about patriots of this country. For some reason, they never show pictures of us. It's like, you know, like we have spilled a lot of blood for this country that we built. So tonight, we are going to talk about the soldiers who helped keep this country free. And that's the African-American soldier. Before I go into the history of us pretty much helping protect this country, or also in the early days helping them to conquer this country, we have to talk about, we come from a bloodline of great warriors and great soldiers. When you get a chance, dig into our history and look up some information about the Moors. The Moors were a group of Africans who used to travel all through Europe and conquer Europe. They actually took over Spain. And I believe they ran Spain for something like 400 years. These were African, well, they weren't African American. They were a Black African group of people, which were warriors. So when you get a chance, check out the Moors. One night we're going to actually do a show on the Moors. But that shows our bloodline, that we come from very courageous, strong leaders and warriors. Okay? Oh, wow. Something just fell in the studio. Hold on, y'all. Let me take a break. Oh, my goodness. Wow, did y'all hear that? That's mad crazy. Let me take a break. I'll be right back. Wayne Abernathy with 14 Generation Technical Services. In today's world, businesses need a video surveillance camera system. Some of the benefits of installing a camera system are they will improve safety, reduce shrinkage, reduce accidents, increase your bottom line, raise staff accountability, and give your customers a sense of peace. Here at 14 Generations, we specialize in new state-of-the-art technology cloud surveillance systems for restaurants, retail, lodging, offices, and we specialize in daycare centers. In addition to sales, we offer service, maintenance, training, and installation of these customized video surveillance systems. If you would like more information, please contact us at 888-751-8881. Once again, that's 888-751-8881, or log on to 14generations.com. That's the number 14 in the word generations. So once again, that's 14generations.com. What's up, what's up, what's up, my people? It's your man, Dwayne Abernathy. You listen to Moving Forward here on YaiserRadio.com. Hey, there can never, nobody out there can ever say that your man, Dwayne, is not broadcasting live. I'm sitting up here broadcasting, y'all, right? And this, we got this, like, this picture hanging up in the studio, and the thing just fell off the wall. It fell off the wall. I had my little drink here. It knocked my drink over, spilled stuff all on the equipment, and oh my goodness, just a big old mess. Anyway, but like we do at Yaiser, we move forward no matter what. I rebuke you, whoever you're trying to hold us back. Somebody trying to hold us back. Anyway, back to what I was talking about. I was talking about the Moors. The Moors, you guys get a chance. Look up in our history. The Moors, or like I said, we come from a bloodline of true warriors, African warriors, okay? But then, of course, we all know what happened. We got the slave trade or whatever they want to call it or whatever. We're not giving it any light tonight. But, of course, we made it here to America. And unfortunately, when it comes to our history in this country, African-American history, for some reason they think and they only say that our history pretty much starts here is slavery, which is not true. But that's another topic for another day and for another show also. But when we got to this country, we have been putting in work since day one, okay? But people got to understand something. This country was already colonized. It actually was under British rule. Or was it British or the French? I think it was the British rule. I might be wrong. If anyone want to call in and correct me on that, let me know. My number is 347-884-8705. But I believe it was the British. But anyway, we have been involved in every military action in this country since the beginning. You never hear about it in the history books. You know, every blue moon you might get a movie made about us, but you never hear about it. All that you hear about is people like George Washington and down here in the south of, what's your boy name, Colonel Custer, and you know what I'm talking about, all them type of people from the south and the north, you know, people who were these big time generals or leaders of the Civil War and all that type of stuff. But you don't ever hear about the African American soldiers that was involved in the Civil War. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to play a clip here of our history. We have been involved in the military in this country since early in the day. Trust me, since the Revolutionary War, we have been involved in military activity in this country with very or no credit at all. So I'm going to play this clip, and it's going to take us from the Revolutionary War all the way up to modern-day military. But then what we're going to do, I'm going to break down a lot of the involvement and the history-making events that we were involved in the military in this country. So if you're just tuning in, we're talking about Black history tonight, but we're talking about the real Black history and the African-Americans' involvement in the military in this country. And another reason why this show tonight is important to me, because I am an ex-veteran. Of course, you know, U.S. Navy, you know, that's what we do. N-A-B-Y, baby. But check out this clip. I'll be back in a second.
African-Americans have a very proud legacy of service. I think that's part of our history, part of our heritage.
From Bunker Hill and the forts of South Carolina to the mountains of Afghanistan, African-Americans have served with honor throughout our history. Black soldiers helped bring peace to the plains and defeat fascism in Europe. They charged up San Juan Hill, shot down Japanese Zeros at Pearl Harbor, and aimed for new heights at Tuskegee. By the end of the 20th century, an African American had risen to command the mightiest military force in the world. But African Americans have also had to fight for their right to defend their country and to receive fair and equal treatment in the military.
It's a challenge, and if you succeed, you come out stronger.
The legacy of their struggle and of their courageous service helped our nation realize its highest ideals of freedom.
Because of the people who served, I'm able to sit here and talk to you right now and breathe this air of freedom.
Casualties of the War of Independence was Crispus Attucks, a black merchant seaman killed in the Boston Massacre of 1770. Slaves and free black men fought together in the Continental Army, but after the Revolution, African Americans were largely barred from serving. Some ignored the ban and fought valiantly in the War of 1812. Among the most famous black units of the Civil War was the 54th Massachusetts Regiment, whose heroic assault on Fort Wagner in South Carolina became legendary for the display of bravery against all odds. Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation prompted thousands of freed and escaped slaves to fight in the Union Army and Navy. Their brave efforts helped to defeat slavery and gain the vote for African Americans. After the war, the Army maintained a number of black units. In the West, they helped preserve order on the lawless frontier. Native Americans called them Buffalo Soldiers. Among their feats in the Spanish-American War, the all-black 10th Cavalry Regiment assaulted San Juan Hill. With America's entry into the First World War, heroic units of black soldiers included the 369th Infantry Regiment. Known as the Harlem Hellfighters, they served on the front lines longer than any other American unit. They also introduced the French to Le Jazz. A little over 20 years later, thousands of African Americans served courageously. During the bombing of Pearl Harbor, Dory Miller, an African-American Navy steward, manned a machine gun to shoot down Japanese Zeros. African-Americans continued to serve heroically during World War II, although in segregated units. Nonetheless, the barriers were slowly being broken. Black women were now able to enlist in the armed forces, and the number of black officers was increasing dramatically. Benjamin O. Davis Sr. had become the country's first African-American general in 1940. His son, future Air Force General Benjamin O. Davis Jr., commanded the 332nd Fighter Group, also known as the Tuskegee Airmen. The 332nd had a perfect record during the war. They never lost a bomber that they had under escort to a German fighter. Their outstanding performance helped to bring an end to segregation in the military. In 1948, President Truman issued an executive order directing the military to give all soldiers equal treatment and opportunity.
There is no justifiable reason for discrimination because of ancestry, or religion, or race, or color.
By 1954, the Army had become the first major U.S. institution to integrate. A decade later, during the Vietnam War, blacks and whites made up an integrated fighting force. Joe Nguyen is a veteran of the Vietnam era. Today, he works with two organizations as an advocate for business opportunities and minority rights for veterans. Joe remembers the early 1970s as a time of challenge and change.
We were coming off of that period of the late 60s, the Black Power Movement, peace movement. I would have to say there was racial tension, not only in Vietnam, but many of the bases stateside as well. We wanted more civil rights, fair and equal opportunities. Same type of individuals who are challenging you at home are challenging you in the military.
After Vietnam, black men and women volunteered in large numbers, and African Americans were rising in the ranks. Samuel Gravely, first African American admiral in the U.S. Navy. Frank E. Peterson, Jr., first African American general in the Marines. Hazel Johnson Brown, first African American female general in the U.S. Army. General Colin Powell's appointment as chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff marked a high point in an extraordinary legacy of service. In Operation Desert Storm, he led U.S. Armed Forces to one of the most impressive victories in military history. Today, African Americans continue to reach for new heights, like Captain Bernice Armour, who served in Operation Iraqi Freedom and became the first African American female combat pilot.
My dad was in the military. My grandfather was in the military. I'm also standing on very, very strong shoulders from the people that came before me, black female pilots, Tuskegee Airmen, you know, General Peterson, first black aviator in the Marine Corps.
After 30 years as an Army nurse, Lucretia McClenny now serves as the director of the Center for Minority Veterans at VA. The center is an important resource that informs minority veterans and their families about VA programs, benefits, and services.
Were it not for the men and women who paved the way, who endured grave injustices, racism, prejudice, discrimination, they fought for generations who would come after them so that we could serve with honor and distinction.
Throughout history, African Americans have valiantly answered the call to defend our country time and again. With courage and determination, they have overcome obstacles to advance the cause of freedom. their legacy of exceptional service continues to earn the respect of a grateful nation.
What's up, what's up, what's up? It's your man, Dwayne Abernethy. You listen to Moving Forward here on YizerRadio.com. Now, check this out, my people. I played that clip because I wanted to play that clip because I want to show that there is video, audio, and even written text that show and prove our presence in the United States military. And it's so funny, as I, even like before I even joined the Navy, I never really had anybody sit down and really tell me the true history of African Americans. You know, a lot of times in our community when I was growing up, I can remember a lot of times they used to just say stuff like, most of us went to the military because we was forced to go because of Vietnam, or they used to give guys like you, the head, the chance, the opportunity, either you go to jail or you go to the army. And that was pretty much it. I mean, no one in my community never told me pretty much about how you can go to the military and get a good education technically, or, you know, in the arms, you know, or, you know, for defense. No one ever taught me that, you know, you can get, you know, good medical health benefits when you become a member of the military, or the benefits that can help your family. No one ever taught me that, you know, joining the military, it can help you purchase a home for your family. It was so much that was in, that was, it's involved with joining the military that was never talked about in our communities. And so that's the reason why tonight's show is very important. And this is why I chose to pick one of this topic as one of our Black History conversations this month for Black History Month. Now, let me read a little passage to you guys. The military history of African Americans span from the arrival of the first black slaves during the colonial history of the United States to the present day. There has been no war fought by or within the United States in which African Americans did not participate, including the Revolutionary War, the War of 1812, the Mexican-American War, the Civil War, the Spanish War, and the World Wars, the Korean War, Vietnam War, the Gulf War, and the wars in Afghanistan, and other minor conflicts. Okay. For all my people out there, all my people that's, I would say, 30 and over, you remember how they make all these military movies. They used to have movies out there called Hamburger Hill, and movies like Platoon, and all these military movies. Have you ever noticed it's either no black soldiers, or it's just one black soldier? You know what I'm saying? It's almost like they just make it sound like that we had, only thing that we inputted into this country was slaves. They never, in no books, no movies, no TV shows, no series. Even I can remember there's a show back in the 80s called MASH. I used to hate that show, MASH, but I did see a couple episodes of the show MASH, and I remember I've never seen not one black person doing that show. Now, that show was based on, I believe, the Korean War, and this statement right here proves that there was African Americans during the Korean War, and they worked at the hospital. So you're going to tell me there wasn't not one black soldier coming through the hospital for treatment during the Korean War? You see what I'm talking about? That's why, once again, I am bringing this to your guys' attention tonight. That first clip that I played, it played the whole history of our roles, you know, in the military in this country. But so what I'm going to do, I'm going to break down some of those great accomplishments of us in the military and fighting for the rights of this country. So, like I said before, we have been fighting in this country, not only fighting for our own freedom or fighting for us for equal rights for ourselves in this country, we also fought for this country. So believe it or not, a lot of the racist people in this country can have a better life. That's the crazy part about it. Let's get back to the Civil War, right? What I'm going to do, I'm going to, you know, start back at the Civil War, and I'm going to work my way up to president military. But I'm going to just show you guys and pinpoint accomplishments that we have contributed to the United States military in order for a lot of us to drive around this country free, travel from state to state in this country freely due to, guess what, the blood spilled by African-American soldiers in this country. So check out this clip right here, and we're going to talk about our role in the Civil War in the United States, the African-American soldier.
When the Civil War began in April of 1861, it was not legal for men of African descent to join the Federal Army. African Americans were serving in the Federal Navy, but they could not join the Federal Army. It was not until July 17, 1862, when Congress passed and President Lincoln signed into law the Militia Act, that African Americans were allowed to join the Federal Army. In 1862, regiments were organized in Kansas, South Carolina, and Louisiana. These regiments would be engaged in mostly small unit operations and engaged in combat in 1862. However, it was not until January 1, 1863, in the Emancipation Proclamation, that President Lincoln issued an order to his field commanders to receive men of African descent into all armed services of the United States. The Bureau of United States Colored Troops was established on May 22, 1863, with General Order 143. Active recruiting of African Americans began on a national scale in the South and Union-occupied territories and in the North. In the Western Theater, African Americans would fight in May of 1863 in the Battle of Port Hudson, the first major battle in which African American soldiers are engaged. In the Eastern Theater, African-American soldiers would prove their mettle in the battle at Fort Wagner, 54th Massachusetts, would lead the assault, the failed Union assault on Fort Wagner. African-American soldiers by the spring of 1864 would become a major part of those Union operations in Virginia. Under General Ulysses S. Grant, they would fight in the battles at Petersburg, and they would go on to earn distinction with 15 Medals of Honor being earned in the Virginia Theater. And at Newmarket Heights in September of 1864, they would capture the closest point captured to Richmond to that date. And they would go on as members of the 25th Army Corps, the only Army Corps in American history to capture Richmond, Virginia. African American soldiers would serve throughout the rest of the war, earning the respect of their generals. An inspector general report that inspected a regiment out of Mississippi, the 3rd United States Colored Cavalry, reported that the superior status of that regiment was a reason why Negroes should serve in the active service. It was their service in the Civil War that leads to their enlistment in the regular army. In 1866, six regiments of African descent soldiers were established in the regular army, four infantry regiments and two cavalry regiments. When the army was downsized in 1869, two infantry regiments would remain and two cavalry regiments, and these soldiers would go on to earn fame as Buffalo soldiers.
What's up, what's up, what's up? It's your man, Dwayne Abernathy. See what I'm talking about? Like, all the years I was in public school, that's what I'm calling it tonight, all the years my cousins, friends, family members all went to public and private schools, there has never, ever, 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 ever been study of the role of African Americans in the military to help fight for freedom of this country or to be a patriot. But there was one story. I can't say they have taught this one story about Crispus Attucks. And of course, you know, if you don't know who Crispus Attucks is, I'm going to tell you who he was. Crispus Attucks is seen by some as the patriot of the pre-Revolutionary War era. As part of the rioting mob, he was killed in 1770 during an attack on the British soldiers guarding Custom House, which came to be known as the Boston Massacre. So it's so crazy. Crispus Attucks has been written in history as like pretty much the first person to die in the breakup of the Revolutionary War. So I asked this question. When you look at our money, you see soldiers and fighters and revolutionary people that they honor, like George Washington. I think he's on like, I don't know what he's on. Is he on a dollar? I don't know. He's, put it like this, he's on the money. And he has monuments. And he has statues. He has all these honors. I got a question. Why ain't Crispus Attucks on a dollar or something? Why ain't Crispus Attucks on a $20 bill? My question is, why isn't there a holiday for Crispus Attucks? On Veterans Day, why don't they mention Crispus Attucks? No, let me rephrase that. I'm not even going to say why don't they. Why don't we? So this is what we need to do. Like I say here on Moving Forward, Guys are Radio, we don't talk about the problem, we talk about the solution. So what we need to do, and as a matter of fact, what we're going to do, because I am a veteran, and then all my peers that are veterans, I'm going to call them up on Veterans Day this year when Veteran Days come. We are going to celebrate and talk about the African Americans' role in the military. That's my promise to you guys. That's the challenge that I'm going to put onto myself this year for Veterans Day. I'm going to make sure that we dedicate that day to the African Americans' role in the military, and we're going to honor our black soldiers who have died for this country. Okay, now, I'm going to get into the fact of, I'm not going to stay too much on the Civil War, but I'm just going to show you how important it was that we've been involved. Right here it says, African Americans as slaves and free blacks served on both sides during the war. Black soldiers served in the Northern militias from the offset. The offset, that means we was there from day one. We were there from the beginning, okay? And then let's see what else we got here. And then it says right here, of course, here comes the South. Okay. But this was forbidden in the South, where slave owners feared arming slaves. Then Lord Dunmore, the royal governor of Virginia, issued an Emancipation Proclamation on November 1775, promising the freedom of runaway slaves who fought for the British. So, if you was a runaway slave and you decided to fight for the British, you would get your freedom. Over 100,000 slaves escaped to fight for the British. It's your ass, Mr. Massa Man. Mr. Massa Man, we coming for you. 100,000 slaves escaped to the British lines. Wow. I got to take a break on that one. We had 100,000 Djangos running through this piece. 100,000 Djangos. Ain't nobody told us nothing about it. I'll be back in a second. It's your man, Dwayne. And you listen to GuysAreRadio.com.
Because I just want to love you, baby. I don't want to waste no time. Want to be your only one, baby. Please don't break my heart.
I rose from the dead, Taylor made black linen. Tinted Escalade with a made man in it. Rose gold shades with the rosé lenses. Pink champagne in the flow so endless. All I seek is perfection. Ain't no secrets, I'ma eat that for breakfast. Keep her close to me like lyrics she spoke to me. In the middle of the winter, summer, let her close to me.
All these stars out, and these people know my name. I could be so pretentious, but he likes me all the same. And these lights are glowing, but he don't want none. He'd rather chill and hold me. Maybe he could be. I don't know the first thing about that. It's all-
barrel. Floating in the six till I made a seasick. Wetting these pumps up with this AMG kit. Earned a reputation ripping up and down the boulevard. Me and baby Bonnie and Clyde off in them rental cars.
Hello, this is Dwayne Abernathy with 14 Generation Technical Services. In today's world, businesses need a video surveillance camera system. Some of the benefits of installing a camera system are they will improve safety, reduce shrinkage, reduce accidents, increase your bottom line, raise staff accountability, and give your customers a sense of peace. Here at 14 Generations, we specialize in new state-of-the-art technology cloud surveillance systems for restaurants, retail, lodging, offices, and we specialize in daycare centers. In addition to sales, we offer service, maintenance, training, and installation of these customized video surveillance systems. If you would like more information, please contact us at 888-751-8881. Once again, that's 888-751-8881, or log on to 14generations.com. That's the number 14 in the word generations. So once again, that's 14generations.com. What's up, what's up, what's up, my people? It's your man, Dwayne Abernathy. You listen to Moving Forward here on YazzerRadio.com. Today, February 6, 2014, live broadcast from Atlanta, Georgia. Yes, that's right. I made it back to the ATL. We are celebrating Black History all this month. You know what? Celebrating Black History every day at YZR.com and YZRRadio.com. But today, well, this month of February, we are going to highlight unwritten Black history for the month of February. So this month, we're going to talk about the Black history that's not in history books, the Black history that the average teacher doesn't even know about. So they're teaching our kids. So this is the Black history that I need to put to you guys so we can spread the word to our people, so we can teach our kids, so they can teach their kids to keep it going, because our history, I refuse to let our history die off. So that's the reason why we are talking about certain Black history moments that have been written out of the history books. Okay? And tonight we're talking about the history of African Americans in the military in the United States. Okay? So after the Civil War, of course, we played our role in the Civil War. We all know how that turned out or whatever. But not to change gears, but I got a question for you guys. How many of you guys out there love Bob Marley, love reggae music? So everybody knows the song, Buffalo Soldiers, Dreadlock Rastas. But did you guys know that Buffalo Soldiers pretty much was the very, I would say that they're like the African-American special forces. The Buffalo Soldiers was actually a unit of African-American soldiers from the 1860s to the early 20th century. The Buffalo Soldiers pretty much was like our Green Berets. It's like, you know, the Buffalo Soldiers. I'm going to tell you how ruthless the Buffalo Soldiers were. The Buffalo Soldiers, like when you join the military, right, like especially like in today's military, you know, you have the Special Forces, you have the SEALs, you have the Delta Force, you have the Border. So when you're part of these different units in the military, you get like these patches on your uniform. So when you walking through there, they know that you're part of an elite unit. But that's how the Buffalo Soldiers were back in the day. They actually had a patches on their uniform of a buffalo. So let people know, like, yo, don't, you know, mess with them. Those are the Buffalo Soldiers. These were some bad boys. So it's like, this is like our first African-American special forces. You know what I'm saying? The Buffalo Soldiers. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to play a clip about the Buffalo Soldiers, and then we're going to talk about the Buffalo Soldiers a little bit more, because if it wasn't for the Buffalo Soldiers, we wouldn't have great generals like Colin Powell, or even like my big brother, big soldier. He's a big Sarge, Anthony Hodges. We wouldn't have had Anthony Hodges if it wasn't for the Buffalo Soldiers. That's why I had to get a shout-out to my big bruh. But anyway, we're going to keep it moving. So learn about the Buffalo. I'm about to teach you guys a little bit about the Buffalo Soldiers. I'll be back in a second. Check out this clip.
Years later, the USS Maine blew up in Havana Harbor. On July 1st, 1867, soldiers arrived here at Fort Davis, Texas. But they were not soldiers of the usual sort. They were black, and members of a new regiment, one of several whose men would soon become known as the Buffalo Soldiers. In 1866, the Army increased the number of cavalry regiments from 6 to 10, including 2 black units, the 9th and 10th. Called Buffalo Soldiers by the Indians because of the dark coats they wore and their short, curly hair, the black troopers epitomized America's new professional army, made up of battle-hardened veterans of the Civil War. Many of these men served on the western frontier until the Indian Wars ended in 1890. Fort Davis had been abandoned since 1861, and now companies C, F, H, and I of the 9th U.S. Cavalry under the command of Lieutenant Colonel Wesley Merritt returned. In addition to rebuilding the fort, the troopers escorted mail and stagecoaches, constructed roads, patrolled the Mexican border, and battled the Apache and Comanche. The 9th fought mostly in the Southwest until 1881. Later, units went to Kansas and Washington State. The 10th served with General Sheridan and were commanded by Colonel Benjamin Grierson, who had the 10th from 1866 to 1890 in the southern plains of Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas. Disciplined and tough, the 9th and 10th fought in 127 confirmed battles with Indians, on average inflicting 4.6 casualties per skirmish. Units from both regiments served in the Spanish-American War, the Philippine Insurrection, and Pershing's 1916 punitive raid into Mexico. At the outset of World War II, the 9th and 10th Cavalry were disbanded, and their units absorbed into the Army.
Buffalo Soldiers, dreadlock rosters. Yes, the Buffalo Soldiers. I'm telling you, they were some bad boys. Check this out. From the late 1860s to the early 20th century, African-American units were utilized in the United States government to combat the Native Americans during the Indian War. Perhaps the most noted amongst this group were the, here we go, Buffalo Soldiers. At the end of the war, and authorized the formation of 2 regiments of black cavalry, the 9th and the 10th U.S. Cavalry. Okay, check this out. So check this out. African Americans played such a role in the Civil War. They had no choice but to curate a new cavalry because it's like they couldn't deny the fact that we put it down in the Civil War. I mean, we had something to fight for, especially we was fighting the, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. They had a license to kill white folks. It is what it is. So, hey, I'm going to keep it real. Okay. So check this out. Let me tell you a little bit more about the Buffalo Soldiers, right? Okay. So see right here. Let's see right here. Okay, they had another regiment. It was formed in 1869. The 4 infantry regiments were merged into 2 new ones, which was the 24th and the 25th U.S. Infantry. These units were composed of black enlisted men commanded by white officers such as Benjamin Garrison. Okay, see? Still had to give us an overseer, but occasionally, the African-American officers such as Henry O. Flipper, remember that name, people, look him up. Henry O. Flipper was an African-American soldier back in 1869, okay? Think about something. I can guarantee you anybody in this country who celebrates Dixie, I bet you they can tell you all the names of their so-called great generals and soldiers from the Civil War on. But why did none of us know who the heck Henry O. Flipper was? You get what I'm saying? You see where this is? You see where I'm going with this, my people? So let me tell you a little bit about Henry Owison Flipper. He was born March 21st, 1856, Georgia. I've been there before. He died May 3rd, 1940, at the age of 84. Check this out. He died like right before World War II started. Okay? He was also a civil engineer. His service in the military is from 1877 to 1882. Look him up. See, anybody out there who has a child who's in school right now who can talk about Black history, have them write a report on Henry Oison Flipper, okay? African-American officer. This is what I'm talking about. That's the reason why this show tonight is so important. Because, like I said, when I was growing up, all I heard about the military was you go there or go to jail. Or you go to the military. Hell, that was it. That was it. Nobody ever told me about none of the technical stuff when it comes to going to the military. All right, but now, let me get back to these Buffalo Soldiers. Because I had to tell you guys like this. You know, I know there's some people out there like, you know, why is Dwayne up there giving big ups and hyping up, you know, talking about, oh, they was fighting for the white man, for their white country. I'm going to be honest with you. Our soldiers, because I was in the military, and I'm telling you, we fight for the honor of our people, to let people know that, you know what, we can handle any discipline that's given out to us. We are brave enough to go on the line of fire and risk our lives. You know what I'm saying? So that's why anybody, but especially anybody of African-American heritage that joined the military, you will always get my utmost respect, because I believe that if it wasn't for a lot of you guys, or even like myself, a veteran like myself, didn't serve in the military, trust and believe, a lot of the rights that we have in this country, we would not have. And a lot of that falls on to the from the responsibility of African-Americans who have served in the military. Now, there's only one, I'm going to have to be honest, there's only one strike that I have against the Buffalo Soldiers that I really didn't agree with all the way. But I understand that they was part of a system that they had to pretty much honor their commitment to their doing their service. And that's the Indian War. You know, Buffalo Soldiers got their name from the Native Americans that they was participating in slaughtering. I had to say it. War is never nice. War is not good. There's nothing good about war. But that's the only slight I have against the Buffalo Soldiers. I know they had to do what they had to do, but they participating in killing Indians. Okay? I had to put that out there. But what I'm going to tell you something that I did not know, and I'm sure a lot of my listeners out there tonight did not know, that the African Americans, the Buffalo Soldiers, was like one of the leading troops in the Spanish-American War. Check out this clip right here, and I'll be back in a second. But check out this clip right here, because I'm like, what the hell? It's like, I'm going to be honest with you. I've heard of the Spanish-American War. I never knew, even when I'm telling you. I did 8 years in the United States Navy. I've been around military people my whole life, and no one ever told me that we participated in the Spanish-American War. Check out this clip. I'll be back in a second. This is your man, Dwayne, listening to Moving Forward here on GeyserRadio.com.
2 years later, the USS Maine blew up in Havana Harbor. 266 sailors and Marines, including 22 Negroes, were killed. Enraged Americans, both black and white, blamed the Spanish and cried out, "Remember the Maine."
There is no people on earth more loyal and devoted to their country than the Negro. I believe in the doctrine of peace taught by the lowly Nazarene, but one must have liberty before abiding peace can come. Force saved the Union, kept the stars in the flag, and made Negroes free. The time for God's force has come to free Cuba and avenge the Maine. Buffalo Soldier Horace W. Bivens.
On May 1st, 1898, fighting broke out in the Philippines. Minor skirmishes were fought in Puerto Rico, but the brunt of the war would play itself out in Cuba. The colored men of America have immense interest at stake. As a citizen and patriot, let him make common cause with the people and again prove himself an element of strength and power in vindicating the honor and claims of his country in the hour of the nation's peril. Tyree must let us die defending a just cause. Cleveland Gazette.
Ultimately, it was Colonel Theodore Roosevelt's Rough Riders that captured the public's imagination. However, much of their glory, as well as their lives, were owed to the Buffalo soldiers of the 9th and 10th Cavalry.
If it had not been for the Negro Cavalry, the Rough Riders would have been exterminated. I am not a Negro lover. My father fought with Mosby's Rangers, and I was born in the South. But the Negroes saved that fight. Washington Post.
The charge of San Juan Ridge made the Buffalo soldiers national heroes.
All honor to the black troopers at the gallant 10th. No more striking example of bravery and coolness has been shown since the destruction of the Maine than by the colored veterans of the 10th Cavalry during the attack upon San Juan. Firing as they marched, their aim was splendid, their coolness was superb, and their courage aroused the admiration of their comrades. Their advance was greeted with wild cheers from the white regiments, and with answering shouts, they pressed onward over the trenches they had taken close in pursuit of the retreating enemy. The war has not shown greater heroism. The men whose own freedom was baptized in blood have proved themselves capable of giving up their lives, and others may be free. New York Mail and Express.
I'm not a Negro lover, but I sure love that Negro to save my ass from getting killed. You know that guy who said that statement was our a future president of the United States? And that's what I'm talking about. When I was growing up, I heard about the Rough Riders. One of them Roosevelt boys. I don't know which one it is. It was Theodore or Teddy. It was one of Roosevelt's. You know, everybody got the claim to fame. The Rough Riders, the Rough Riders. And you guys just heard, just like I heard. The Rough Riders was like, if it wasn't for the Buffalo soldiers, we would have been dead on the scene. See what I'm talking about? The Buffalo soldiers there putting it down. Okay. But this is the crazy part. They down over in Philippines. They down there in Cuba putting in work. But the crazy part, check this out. After the Indians in the 1890s, right? The African, well, the Buffalo soldiers, they served in the Spanish-American War. Okay? Okay, the Medal of Honor. The Medal of Honor is like the highest honor a soldier can get in the military. During the Spanish-American War, 5 medals of honors were earned by Buffalo soldiers. You see what I'm talking about? I never heard about it. No one ever told me, you know. No one taught me this. You know, that's the crazy part about it, man. That's why it is important that we take this history and teach our children so they can teach their children so our history does not die. But this is my other question or my other challenge. All my people in Hollywood and all that stuff, where's the movies made for the Buffalo Soldiers? You know, I believe like every 2-3 years, there's always. Matter of fact, there's a military movie about to come out right now called The Monument Men or something. Some dudes, Clooney and them, went over to Germany to find artifacts that Hitler was killing. Where's our Buffalo Soldier movie at? Okay, granted, we did get a movie, The Red Tails, a couple years ago, but, like, come on now. You know, we do not need another, what's some of the movies that's been coming out lately? We don't need another, I ain't even gonna say buffoon movie. We don't need another movie that just always entertain us and make us happy. I love them type of movies or whatever. But we need a movie about the Buffalo Soldiers. Okay. I'm going to take a break. I've been talking for a while. We have 58 minutes to go in the show, and we only at the Buffalo Soldiers. You know what? Buffalo Soldiers. That's how much love I got for them. But I'm going to take a break, and I'll be back in a second. This is your man, Dwayne, and you listen to Moving Forward here on YizerRadio.com.
What else a dollar you murder for? Is that the one fighting for your soul? Or your brother's the one that you're running from? But if you got money, forget me, I want some.
B.I.G. Oh, God. Whoa. Okay, ain't nobody f***ing with my click, 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 click. Ain't nobody fresher than my mug, mug. Click, 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 click. As I look around, they don't do it like my click, 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 click. And all these bad, bad men, they want the, they want the. Tell a bad bitch, do whatever I say. My block behind me like I'm coming out the driveway. It's grind day from Friday to next Friday. I've been up straight for 9 days, I need a spy day. Yeah. She try and give me that Wu-Tang, I might let my crew bang. My crew deep in it, Wu-Tang, I'm rolling with her. Girl, you know my crew name, you know 2 Chainz. I'm pulling up in that Bruce Wayne, but I'm the feeling, man, they kneeling when I'm walking in the building. Freaky women, I be feeling from the bank accounts, I'm feeling. What a feeling, aw, man, they gotta feel. Young player from the D, that's killing everything that he put in. Go. Click, 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 oh God. Click, click. Ain't nobody fresher than my mom, mom. Click, 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 click. As I look around, they don't do it like my click, 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 click. And all these bad, bad men, they want the, they want the, they want the.
Click, clap, pick them up. Yeah, I'm talking, yeah. Yeah, I'm talking re. Yeah, I'm talking B. And I'm talking me. Yeah, I'm talking boss. I ain't talking police. Your money too short, you can't be talking to me. Yeah, I'm talking LeBron. We ballin' our family tree. Good music, drug dealing, cousin, ain't nothing with we. Me, turn that 62 to 125, 125 to a 250. 250 to a half a man, ain't nothing nobody could do with me. Now who with me? Domino's, call me Hobo Hefe. Translation, I'm his. Least that's what my neck say. Least that's what my check say. Lost my homie for a decade. Break it down for like 12 years, ain't hugging son since second grade. He never told. Who we gon' tell? We top of the totem pole. It's the dream team, meet the supreme team. And all our eyes tweening only means okay, one thing. You ain't f***ing with the click.
Click, 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 click. Ain't nobody fresher than my mom, mom. Click, click.
Hello, this is Dwayne Abernathy with 14 Generation Technical Services. In today's world, businesses need a video surveillance camera system. Some of the benefits of installing a camera system are they will improve safety, reduce shrinkage, reduce accidents, increase your bottom line, raise staff accountability, and give your customers a sense of peace. Here at 14 Generations, we specialize in new state-of-the-art technology cloud surveillance systems for restaurants, retail, lodging, offices, and we specialize in daycare centers. In addition to sales, we offer service, maintenance, training, and installation of these customized video surveillance systems. If you would like more information, please contact us at 888-751-8881. Once again, that's 888-751-8881, or log on to 14generations.com. That's the number 14 in the word generations. So once again, that's 14generations.com. What's up, what's up, what's up? This your man, Dwayne Abernathy, and you listen to Moving Forward here on YizerRadio.com. Today, February 6, 2014, broadcasting live from Atlanta, Georgia. Tonight, we are talking about the history of the African-American soldier, or the history of the United States military. So we're moving forward. Now, once again, the Buffalo Soldiers still continue on to you know, fight for this country and get honors and everything, all the way up pretty much to like World War II, to be honest with you. But this is the crazy part. But once again, racism always, like I tell you guys every night, peers this ugly head. Even though they were in the military, even though they were good enough to fight for their country, even though they were good enough to die for their country, even though the African-American soldiers saved a lot of black soldiers, a lot of white soldiers' lives, we were still segregated. You know, a lot of the to be honest with you, a lot of the jobs that we had in the military outside the infantry part that got us honors and awards, we pretty much, they had us doing, like, I will say supporting roles or servant roles, like working in the kitchen, doing the cleaning, like say for on the military bases, do the cleaning in the military bases, or, you know, cooking food in the galleys, or, you know, all this type of stuff, you know. But once again, when it came down to saving somebody's ass, we never go, oh, I can't save you because you're white. No, we fought for the country and we saved the people that we need to save, like in the middle, you know, in the middle of a battle. So check this out. I'm going to tell you guys, like I was saying earlier, the U.S. Armed Forces remained segregated through all the way up to the World War. So many African-Americans eagerly volunteered to join the military. And this is so crazy. By the time we started getting into conflict with Germany in 1918, over 350,000 African-Americans have served in the United States military. 300,000, he wasn't stepping up. You know what I'm saying? Tell me we weren't stepping up. You know, we were stepping up for the cause. Okay? Now check this out. But we did get a chance to fight, though. Like right now, I was telling you guys, I'm going to read this article real quick. It says, most African-American units were largely relegated to support roles and did not see combat, like I just told you guys before. But check this out. Still, African-Americans played a notable role in American war efforts. One of the most distinguished units, listen to the word distinguished, not one of the dumbest, or not one of the laziest, but one of the most distinguished units was the 369th Infantry Regiment, known as the Harlem Hellfighters, which was on the front lines for 6 months longer than any other American unit in the war. 171 members of the 369th were awarded with Legion of Merit. Distinguished. I'm going to play this clip. This is our role in World War. I think it's World War One, World War Two. Hell, we was in all of them. Now, this is World War II. I'll be back in a second. Check out this clip. This is our role in World War II.
In August of 1944, the Buffalo Soldiers arrived in Italy. Ulysses Lee, the official government historian for the employment of Negro troops during World War II, was there.
As the thousands of black fighting men debarked from the crowded troop ships, they presented an impressive and awe-inspiring spectacle. Armed with basic weapons and full field battle dress, proudly wearing the circular shoulder patch with the Black Buffalo, they moved smartly and efficiently into their unit formations. As they marched away, every man in step, every weapon in place, chins up and eyes forward, a low rumbling babble of sound came from the troops on the dock, then swelled to a crescendo of thunderous cheering, which continued until the last Buffalo unit had disappeared from sight. Ulysses Lee.
The unit's white commander, General Edward Almond, didn't want them in.
I did not send for you. Your Negro newspapers, Negro politicians, and white friends have insisted on your seeing combat. And I shall see to it that you get combat. Your share of casualties. General Edmund.
The 92nd Infantry battled some of Germany's best trained troops as they fought their way through Italy. In letters home, soldiers like 2nd Lieutenant Spencer Moore would write of their combat experiences.
Dear Mom and Pop, we've been on the line for 82 days. And I don't know when we're going to get relieved. The men are lousy, sick, frostbitten, shell-shocked, and scared. It's no joke to see men you've known, lived with, eaten with, and slept with, blown up, shot down before your eyes. Well, Mom, Jerry's being in a shell again, so I'll sign off for now. Your loving son, Spencer.
The day after Christmas, two platoons of Buffalo soldiers awoke to the sound of mortar fire. The area was swarming with Nazi troops, and within a few hours, the men were fighting for their lives. Nearby, Lieutenant John Fox was calling in artillery coordinates so that others could escape. As the shells moved closer and closer to his position, the officer in charge, Major Otis Zachary, who was also one of his best friends, refused to fire. The Germans were closing in. Lieutenant Fox radioed back.
Fired.
No one survived who saw what happened next. But after the battle, a local priest reported seeing the body of John Fox surrounded by more than 100 dead enemy soldiers. Of the 95 American and Italian defenders, 18 made it back alive.
It was rough, but we were dedicated. We were fighting for a greater cause, for our people. We had to defeat them, and we had to prove that blacks would fight. If we failed, the whole black race would fail. We were fighting for the flag and for our rights. Sergeant James Tillman.
What's up, what's up, what's up? It's your man Dwayne Abernathy. Listen to Moving Forward here on YazzaRadio.com. Did you hear that last statement, that clip? He said, we was fighting for our people. But this is what gets me. We've been putting in work for the United States military since we landed on this country in bondage. So I'm going through our history of putting in work in the United States military. Now I'm all the way up to 1940. We're in the 40s now. And we're still got to prove ourselves to say that we're fighting our race. We're still being treated like second-class citizens in this country, not just in the military, but in the country, period. If you was African-American in the 40s, trust me, you was getting treated like ish in this country, right? But we talking about 1940s, World War II. So we've been through the Spanish-American War. We've been through the Revolutionary War. We've been through the Philippines, the war in the Philippines. We've been through World War One. We've been through the Civil War, the Mexican War, the War of 1812. Now we all the way up to the 40s, 1941 through 49. World War Two era, and we're still being treated like second-class citizens, as civilians and in the military. So despite all of our honors that we've proven over these years, no matter how many of our people have enlisted in the military, we still was up against racial tension. So like, you know, when we come back from wars, you never saw in a splash on Life magazine or Time magazine or whatever it's called back then, the African-American soldiers coming back. I believe in my lifetime, I might have saw one magazine cover, and I think it was like an Ebony magazine from back in the day. You know, but I could be mistaken. But I'm just saying, you never saw when they was having all these honor dinners and celebrations of the soldiers. You never seen them really celebrate the African-American or the Buffalo soldier, you know. So we've been putting in all this work, like I said, since the 1800s. Now we're in World War II. And all of our soldiers, like you said, they served in distinction, honorable, you know. But this is the crazy part. There were 125,000 African-Americans who were overseas during World War II. So now World War II, that's a lot of time when the Navy got involved. These are my people, the Navy. Crazy thing about the Navy, though, back in those days, most of the African Americans in the Navy were cooks or swabbing the deck. That's mopping, if you guys didn't know. You know, it's very seldom that we got any recognition for being involved in World War II, okay? So then, but there are some African American units that, you know, of course, got some after they earned themselves, you know, to prove that they can do the jobs. But we have already proven ourselves that we can do the job. But you had like the Tuskegee Airmen, we had the 761st Tank Battalion, and also we had the 452nd Anti-Aircraft of Artillery Battalions. But once again, they all have proved that they could be great leaders. They all proved that they could be great warriors. But once again, we were still segregated. We were still treated like second-class citizens in the military. I mean, literally, we had our, like, the blacks slept, like, on the naval ship. The blacks slept on one part of the ship. The white sailors slept on another side of the ship. In the Army, you know, when you set up camp, the black soldiers and units worked and lived in one space. The white soldiers lived and worked in another space. It took all the way up to the U.S. Armed Forces was desegregated by Henry S. Truman in July of 1948. You listening to me? 1948. So we've been fighting for this country since the 1800s. And it took these yahoos to 1948 to say, guess what? You guys are good enough to work amongst us other soldiers. You guys have proven yourself to sleep and eat in the same dining halls and sleep in the same birthing areas as us. Because you guys have proven that you're not going to kill us in our sleep. I'm going to let you guys think about that for a second. I'm going to take me a break. I'll be back in a second.
To
Hello, this is Dwayne Abernathy with 14 Generation Technical Services. In today's world, businesses need a video surveillance camera system. Some of the benefits of installing a camera system are they will improve safety, reduce shrinkage, reduce accidents, increase your bottom line, raise staff accountability, and give your customers a sense of peace. Here at 14 Generations, we specialize in new state-of-the-art technology cloud surveillance systems for restaurants, retail, lodging, offices, and we specialize in daycare centers. In addition to sales, we offer service, maintenance, training, and installation of these customized video surveillance systems. If you would like more information, please contact us at 888-751-8881. Once again, that's 888-751-8881, or log on to 14generations.com. That's the number 14 in the word generations. So once again, that's 14generations.com. What's up, my people? It's your man, Dwayne Abernathy. You listen to Moving Forward here on GeyserRadio.com. And today, February 6, 2014, we are celebrating Black History Month. And tonight, we're talking about the role of African Americans in the United States military. Because, you know, myself, I am a veteran, so I give much respect and big ups to anybody who has served in the United States military. But check this out. Before I went on break, I had mentioned that, you know, all the segregation, the United States military was segregated all the way up to 1948. All the way up to 1948. So, not unless my math is off, we have fought for this country by this point for 173 years. From 1775 to 1948, 173 years, that's almost two centuries that we fought and died for this country to come back to be called niggers, to come back to be lynched, to come back to couldn't get jobs to feed our families, to come back to couldn't find a decent place to have shelter to live for our families, to come back to not respect in communities outside of our own. 173 years of segregation, dealing with segregation in the military, dealing with the chance of dying for your country, dying for this country, to come back home to deal with racism even more. And we're talking about these were laws in place, federal laws that prevented black people from living in decent places, for black people or African Americans to go to a school to get a proper education. So let me understand something. I'm good enough to fight and die for you. I'm good enough to fight, die, and save your ass from getting killed, but I'm not good enough to get a decent job to feed my wife and kids and educate my children? Come on, man. 173 years. But the crazy part about it, I still believe that everybody should do 2 years in the military, and I'm going to tell you why. I joined the military back in 1989. I actually signed up for the military my junior year of high school. The number one reason why I joined the military, because I knew that I needed the discipline. I knew that if I would have went straight from high school to college, I would have wasted my parents' money because I wasn't ready. I'm going to be honest. I wasn't ready. I mean, I grew up, you know, a pretty decent middle-class family, but at the same time, I didn't have the discipline. I was like into partying and running around. I needed some type of structure to prepare me for life. And till to this day, I follow teachings that I learned from the military. And I think that's the number one reason why I think that everybody. No, despite the politics, I don't agree with the politics, and I don't believe a lot of the tactics, but I believe that one thing that the military will teach you is that you will understand that you can make it through anything in life. Think about it. If you are put into a war zone and your job is to stay alive, if you can stay alive, and I'm not trying to scare anybody out there. Everybody didn't go to a war zone, but I'm just telling you, if you have the opportunity, if you have the thing hanging over your head that there's a chance that you can get sent to a war zone, okay, and your job is to stay focused on what you're supposed to do and not die, trust me, there's nothing in life that can come up against you that you could not deal with after being in the military. Also, believe it or not, the military teaches you how to be, they used to tell us all the time, responsibility comes with reliability. In other words, what they're saying is if you have a responsibility for something, that means that people are going to be relying on you to handle your responsibility. And I know it gets tough. I know there's some people out there like Dwayne, there's some times in your life that you haven't been reliable or responsible, but there's a key to that statement. I strive every day to make sure that I stay responsible and reliable. That is just one thing that I learned in boot camp. So I truly believe that everyone should go to the military for 2 years. And that's just to give you a structure for life. And then you go from the military to college. I'm going to take a break. This is your man, Dwayne Abernathy. You listen to Moving Forward here on YizerRadio.com. And I'll be back in a second.
I want you. I like to introduce myself. My name is.
Wish I didn't have to face her. She didn't run away, I thanked her. Fade away like I erased her. Ball her heart up like a paper. I'll be acting like I'm too heavy now. Thinking I can have a million girls and still get her. I must be crazy. On the phone saying I love her, but in the bathroom there's another. Hoping I'll stay undiscovered, like I'm undercover brother. I'll be acting like I just met her. Thinking how I used to keep my game when it's at her. Well, I must be crazy. Now I can't forget.
Did you wrong, forever?
Deal with the facts that I'll be wrong, forever. Deal with the facts that did you wrong, forever. Deal with the facts that could've loved you better. Yeah, 'cause I was only living reckless. Girls in order like a checklist. Kept a cupid up for breakfast, but none lived up to her confession. My appetite was so insatiable. What was I thinking? Checking my questions and answers. Got my studies, different changes. But the team was in the ambulance. Kept on coming back like cancer. So she chose to use a common sense. And I'm singing watch like a constant.
Hello, this is Dwayne Abernathy with 14 Generation Technical Services. In today's world, businesses need a video surveillance camera system. Some of the benefits of installing a camera system are they will improve safety, reduce shrinkage, reduce accidents, increase your bottom line, raise staff accountability, and give your customers a sense of peace. Here at 14 Generations, we specialize in new state-of-the-art technology cloud surveillance systems for restaurants, retail, lodging, offices, and we specialize in daycare centers. In addition to sales, we offer service, maintenance, training, and installation of these customized video surveillance systems. If you would like more information, please contact us at 888-751-8881. Once again, that's 888-751-8881 or log on to 14generations.com. That's the number 14, in the word generations. So once again, that's 14generations.com. What's up, what's up, what's up? This is your man, Dwayne Abernethy. You're listening to Moving Forward here on GeyserRadio.com. Tonight, February the 6th, 2014, we're talking about the history of the African-American in the military. So check this out. So I've been telling you guys about all these honors of these groups, these units, these regiments of African-American soldiers, all the way from Civil War, all the way up to World War II, like the Buffalo Soldiers. But check this out. I want to give a shout out to some personal accomplishments. Like, say, for instance, it's very few people to know who Benjamin O. Davis Sr. was. So I'm going to tell you guys real quick who Benjamin O. Davis Sr. was. Benjamin O. Davis Sr. was the first African-American Air Force general. 1877, November 26th, he was the first African-American general officer in the United States Army. He was the father of an Air Force general, Benjamin O. Davis Jr. I'm going to talk about him for a second, but check this out. How many of you guys ever heard of this man? Honestly, how many of you guys ever heard of Benjamin Oliver Davis Sr.? Very few. Very few. You know, he was a general during the times of segregation in the military. But I talk about people like this because I want to get you guys to understand something. If you're sitting at home right now, 2014, and you complain about you can't find a job, or you complain about somebody's trying to hold you back, or you complain about that you just can't achieve your dreams or goals, that is a bunch of ish. Because I have just given you guys 173 years worth of history of African-American men and women who had the world against them, and they succeeded. This gentleman right here, like I just told you about, Benjamin Oliver Davis Sr., the first brigadier general in the United States military. Could you imagine what this man had to go through to become a general? So if you at home right now, crying the blues, talking about you can't achieve anything or someone's holding you back, you lying to yourself. And I need for you, look, this is the worst statement that our president has ever said to our people. But I like the statement because it's so funny. He said, he pretty much go out there and go for it. I'm not going to insult my people like President Obama did, but I am going to say, in today's world, if you don't know how to do it, be man enough or woman enough to go ask somebody to help you achieve your goal. And I'm not talking about asking them for money. I'm talking about asking them to help you achieve your goal. Okay, let me tell you some more of honorable African-Americans in the military. We have also Benjamin Davis Jr. He was also a Tuskegee Airman. He actually was one of the founding members of the Tuskegee Airmen. Actually, he was. Benjamin O. Davis served as commander and famed the Tuskegee Airmen during wars. He later went to become the first African-American general in the United States Air Force. So think about it. There's a legacy. His father was a general in the Army. Brigadier general. That's top dog. That was in 1940. Then his son, Benjamin O. Davis Jr., became the first general in the Air Force. Totally different branch of military. Let's see who some other honorable African-Americans. We have, okay, in 1944, the Golden 13 became the Navy's first African-American commissioned officer. His name was Golden 13. That's a hell of a name, right? Golden 13, first African-American commissioned officer in the U.S. Navy, 1944. I did 8 years in the Navy. Didn't know it. Never even heard of Mr. Golden 13. Okay. Let me rephrase. I'm sorry. I was a typo. The Golden 13 is not a person. Okay. The Golden 13 were the first African-American enlisted men who became the first African-American mission and warrant officers in the United States Navy. That's even better. 13 brothers who were enlisted. If you guys don't know what that means these brothers came in from the bottom of the barrel. We're talking about E1s, okay? Worked their way up through the ranks to become officers. 13 brothers. I'm so ashamed. I am so ashamed because I just left Norfolk, Virginia. I was up in Norfolk, Virginia for 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks on all the naval bases, the biggest naval bases on the East Coast, and there was not one plaque, monument, statue, ship, or nothing talking about the Golden 13. What the what? 1944. That just pissed me off. But this is the history. It's the history that I'm talking about. March 17th, 1944. Wow. I'm going to have to look into them brothers. But, so we're talking about personal accomplishments. The reason why I'm talking about the personal accomplishments now, because I want to push my people. Any of my listeners out there, I want to push you guys. If you at home and you think that the weight is on your back, if you think that you can't make it, you can. There's nothing that can stop you from making it. If you start to think that you can't make it, imagine yourself being in the middle of Germany somewhere as an African American, and there's a whole country out there who's trying to kill you, and you have to fight your way through that. Then after you fight your way through that, you come back to the country that you're from, and they still trying to kill you, and you still reach your goal. You still become a brigadier general. You still become an admiral in the United States Navy. Are you feeling me? You still become a pilot in the United States Air Force. There's nothing that can stop you but you. There's nothing that can stop you but you. On that note, I'm going to play an old school clip. This is an original training clip, what they used to call them back in the day, propaganda videos of this Tuskegee Airmen, African American pilots. Check out this. This is straight old school. I'm talking about straight white boy talking in the old English dialect, the whole nine yards. Check out this clip. But I'm just going to show you guys when it's up against you, you can make it and you can achieve it. It's like the Tuskegee Airmen. So check out this clip. And I'm telling you guys, that's why we're here for you. We're here for our people. Yizer.com, and Yizer Radio, and your man, Dwayne Abernathy, is here to help our people move forward. Tuskegee Airmen.
Graduate under the Army Air Force's newly organized plan for training Negro pilots. From all parts of the country, these men have come to take the acid test. They are anxious and eager. No leniency is shown, and none is asked. After all, each cadet here has passed the same rigid entrance examinations, the same stiff mental and physical requirements as every other cadet. These are just five ordinary men learning to fly for their country. These men are representatives of 30 million fellow Negroes. And all 30 million have their eyes and hopes pinned on them. They flew hard, studied hard, and busted buttons, bulging their chests at inspection. And they made the grade. They are inspired by their leader, Captain Benjamin O. Davis, the first Negro ever to be accorded the traditional recognition by West Point upperclassmen. With basic completed, the new pilots are sent to Selfridge Field for advanced courses in strafing and skip bombing.
Here, for the first time, they will fly P-40s, now redesigned and adapted to latest attack methods. Before their bombing flights over the target range, the pilots gather before headquarters for briefing. They have come from all parts of the United States and from all social levels to learn to fly, and if necessary, to die for their homeland. In their attentive eyes, confidence is reflected. Confidence in their ability to handle the task ahead. Confidence arising from the knowledge that they have proven capable of handling our powerful warplanes. Negro pilots use some of the finest training bases in the United States. The Tuskegee Air Base at Tuskegee, Alabama, was built entirely by Negroes. In addition to this $4 million establishment, the Negro Training Program operates the well-equipped Oscoda Air Base in Michigan for advanced training. At Oscoda, pilots also step up from the BT-13 trainers to fast, powerful P-40 fighters. The percentage of washouts is no higher than in any other school. Their ability to grasp and utilize mechanical and technical knowledge is unquestioned. The morale is high, bolstered by the knowledge that they are not a part of an experiment. One of the group, Max Ross, ex-inspector in an Ohio steel mill, won recognition for a valiant effort to save his burning plane. Lieutenant Ross was the first Negro member of the famed Caterpillar Club. To the wings of their P-40s, the pilots dive in low over the ground, release the bombs, and speed away in a sweeping curve as the bombs skip into the target. Soon checked, and the deadly accuracy of these young pilots calls for a hearty congratulations all around. The men are prepared to meet the enemy. Then Italy. With Silver Wings 1, these men form the first Negro Pursuit Squadron and are sent into active combat under the command of the first Negro pilot to earn his wings, Lieutenant Colonel Ben Davis. Somewhere in Italy, the mechanics make final checks on their trim P-40s. Excitement is in the air. America's first Negro pilots are to receive their baptism of fire. They are to fly against the Luftwaffe and deliver a blow to the Axis. Down the improvised metal runway, they head straight for the enemy target, an old, well-fortified Italian city. And the target gets a pasting. For this and other excellent work, the Negro Fighter Squadron has won a group citation from the commanding general of the Air Forces. personal citations have been won by individual members. The Negro pilot has proved himself a capable, fearless fighter, dangerous and deadly to the enemy, an able defender of the American way of life.
What's up, what's up, what's up? It's your man, Dwayne Abernathy. You're listening Moving Forward here on GuysAndRadio.com. I had to play that clip because it's so funny. We were still Negroes in that clip. But the Tuskegee Airmen was some bad boys. Okay, I'm getting close to the end of my show. I have to move forward. Men of honor. This was a man of honor. This guy right here, this man right here, this Master Chief right here is a man that I respected. Why, you know, part of the reason why I take pride in being a part of the United States Navy. Carl Maxie Brashear. If you guys never heard of him, I want you guys to look, first read the book and see the movie. There's a movie that's called Men of Honor with Cuban Gooding Jr. And there's a book. The book is better than the movie. I read this book when I was in the Navy. No, I was out of the Navy. But anyway, I heard of it when I was in the Navy. The book came out, the movie came out. Carl Maxie Brashear, the first United States master diver. I'm going to play his clip so I can talk about him before the show goes off tonight. But listen, Carl Maxie Brashear, you have to see Men of Honor. You have to read the book, but listen to the clip first.
That's what I want to be, sir.
A Navy master diver.
I had never even heard who Carl Brashear was.
I was a deep sea diver in the United States Navy for about 26 years.
Cut off my leg, then assemble a full medical review board 12 weeks from today. I want to make Master Chief.
I think everybody should know that Carl Brashear exists.
Carl Brashear is the hero to a lot of Navy people. He was a celebrity within the dive community.
He's the first African-American to have achieved master diver status in the Navy.
He's so revered and so respected within naval circles.
I have spent most of my life in the Navy trying only to succeed. However, my quest has come at a great personal loss to those who love me.
It's just amazing that somebody actually lived that kind of life. And it's a story so deserving of telling.
Around 1949, 1951, it was a tough time for African Americans in the Navy because most of the guys at that time were stewards, cooks, valet. And Carl had a promise, you know, from his father that he was going to do something important.
I was the number sixth child of a sharecropper's family, and we lived about 3 miles out of a little place called Sonora, Kentucky. And as a little child growing up, I wanted to be in the military.
Where I come from, there are no oceans. Only dirt farms and honorary mules.
My motivation, my strength, my power, that came from my father.
Get in there. Fight, Carl. Don't take bounces. Bust the rules if you have to.
It was a tremendous racism at that time, and it was tough, but what really drew me to Carl and just talking to him is that he said no. He didn't take no for an answer. That's what I want to be, sir.
A Navy master diver.
Yes, sir.
They are not going to take a colored at diving school. It's as simple as that.
He wrote hundreds of letters just to get an opportunity to go into the diving school.
That was in 1953. I faced a lot of discrimination and a lot of bigotry going on in the diving camp there in New Jersey. On two occasions, I found a note on my bunk. I ignored it because I knew who I was. I knew where I wanted to go. My goals were set. I was going to work towards those goals with all my might and all my notes. I was going to stop.
Why do you want this so badly?
Because they said I couldn't have it. He was really the pioneer for black divers. And just what he went through and what he kind of stands for is really what we try to portray in this film. I mean, the man is resilient. He's courageous. He's so inspirational. And once people meet him, you see that there's no bitterness in this man, and what he went through is astonishing.
Going from first class diver to master diver is a big step. Not that many people make that step to master diver. The master diver in the United States Navy is the highest position in the diving specialty. See, diving is not a rating, it's a specialty. is a master of the highest, and he's supposed to be able to have the capabilities of treating all types of diving diseases and accidents. He's supposed to have the knowledge and the capabilities of supervising all phases of diving and salvage. No one on this ship other than commanding officer can relieve you of your duties. I was getting my qualifications in to be a master, and I was on board the USS Forrest, AOS 40, salvaging a nuclear bomb off the coast of Spain. We searched for the bomb from January to March of 1966.
At that time, it was a Cold War. Anybody could find that bomb and take it anywhere they wanted and use it to their advantage. And the Russians were doing that. Carl was down there in the water. He was actually there, and his crew found that bomb.
The day we found it, I was making preparation to lift it off of the ocean floor and put it in a small boat. And a crisis occurred on the ship. I mean, they were in the way, and I rushed into danger, had to get those guys out of the way. And the boat pulled a pipe and a statue off the ship with tremendous force and hit me on the leg and pulled it off. The accident happened at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and they transferred me to a larger ship that had a helicopter. But when I arrived at the hospital at 11 o'clock at night, the doctor thought I was dead. So he had me outside the morgue. He took a very sick, checked on again, he said, he's not dead, he said, he got a very faint heartbeat. And so that's the words I use, I survived the morgue.
He lost his leg, and that, nothing deterred him. Nothing deterred him.
The Navy thought that was the end of my career in the diver, but I had reached my goals, I had other ideas. I had convinced the Naval Bureau of Medicine and Surgery personnel, plus the Bureau of Naval personnel, that I could in fact return to full duty, full diving as an amputee. Now all the obstacles and the adversities that I met prior to that, that was my biggest challenge, convincing the Navy that I could in fact stay in it and perform my duties. I had to perform maneuvers that you don't have to do in diving schools when you got two legs. One of them was walking on the surface in a 290-pound diving outfit, and hurt, pain, my scar tissue would open up and bleed, but I would not go to the dispensary because they would document that, and then they would have ammunition to medically discharge me from the Navy. So I'd get a hot bucket of water and soak it, and then I would treat it with hydrogen peroxide and betadine.
Man, the Navy diver is not a fighting man. He is a salvage expert. Yes, if it's lost underwater, he finds it. If it's sunk, he brings it up. If it's in the way, he moves it. 11, if he's lucky, he will die young 200 feet beneath the waves, for that is the closest he will ever get to being a hero.
And I think I could have stepped over a tall building when I proved to the Navy that I could be a deep sea diver as an amputee.
What's up, this is your man Dwayne Abernathy. This is Moving Forward here on YazzaRadio.com. Carl, Maxie, Brashear, I have 4 minutes left, so I have to get this in. I'm ending this show giving much respect to Master Chief Carl Maxie Brashear, the first African-American salvage diver. His life, unfortunately, did end. He passed away July 25th, 2006, at the age of 25. At the Navy Medical Center in Port Smith, Virginia. If you guys get a chance, please read the book, Men of Honor. Please see the movie, Men of Honor. Learn your history, people. But I want to show you, talk about him before this show ended tonight, because he got his leg cut off in duty and still continued to be a diver. He went up against the opposition. He lost his leg. So once again, I just want to show you guys tonight that if there's something that's holding you back or you fighting against the forces, you can push through and you can make it, you can move forward and you can survive it. That's why Mr. Carl Max Brashear always gets much respect. But tonight I'm giving all honor to all my African American men and women who have served in the United States military. Thank you guys for protecting our country. And you guys, if you know a veteran, please give much respect to any veteran that you do know. Okay, I'm ending tonight's show. I will see you guys on Sunday night, and we're going to talk about the history of hip-hop. Thank you guys once again for tuning in. You get a chance, log on to Yizor.com, our social network. That's Y-I-Z-Z-O-R. Also, if you're looking for a camera system, please log on to 14generations.com. If you're in Indianapolis, Indiana, or Atlanta, Georgia, and you need any type of commercial or home services done, from carpet cleaning to painting to junk haul removal, please log on to damselindistress.com. That's D-A-M-S-E-L, the letter N, and the word distress, D-I-S-T-R-E-S-S.com. That's damselindistress.com. This is your man, Dwayne Abernathy, and I'm out. Thank you guys for tuning in tonight. And like I tell you guys all the time, knowledge is not power. The use of knowledge is power. I'm out. Peace. See you guys on Sunday.
I worked and worked till I'm half dead, and I hear people saying she's getting old. And what do I get?
A little reverb.
A daughter! Who cares as much about the beautiful dresses I give her as she cares about me?
Let's do this for these babies. Mercedes. Truck up, houses on acres. Blakey ballin' on HD. Y'all need to step up your AV. Life changed again, I was already taking off. My flight changed again, flight change wins. It's barely 12 noon and my wife changed again. Baby needs pampers. Daddy need at least 3 weeks in the Hamptons. Please don't judge me. Only hugged the block, I thought my daddy didn't love me. My baby getting chubby. Cue that Stevie Wonder music, oh, isn't she lovely? Now I'm staring at her, praying that things don't get ugly. And I'm stuck in that old cycle, like wife, please hug me. Oh, joint custody. I need a joint right now, just to sort of loan oaks with me. High your life. I could die from the fall, imagine if I hit the floor. Apologies in order, the blue Ivy, my daughter. If it was up to me, you would be with me. Sort of like daddy dearest.
Hello, this is Dwayne Abernathy with 14 Generations Technical Services. In today's world, businesses need a video surveillance camera system. Some of the benefits of installing a camera system are they will improve safety, reduce shrinkage, reduce accidents, increase your bottom line, raise staff accountability, and give your customers a sense of peace. Here at 14 Generations, we specialize in new state-of-the-art technology cloud surveillance systems for restaurants, retail, lodging, offices, and we specialize in daycare centers. In addition to sales, we offer service, maintenance, training, and installation of these customized video surveillance systems. If you would like more information, please contact us at 888-751-8881. Once again, that's 888-751-8881, or log on to 14generations.com. That's the number 14 in the word generations. So once again, that's 14generations.com.